say go for auto sequence start.
Critically analyze indeed, and welcome to Media Moves for this Wednesday night, the 8th of April 2020. And here we are in the midst of social distancing, self-isolation, and I'm not telling you anything new. This is Media Moves, which is brought to you by the South Australian Association for Media Education, or SAMME, as we like to call ourselves. And this is a professional body made up mainly of educators, but also people from the industry who are concerned with the notion of media education and making our students and our population in general more media literate. And before we get too far into the program, I'd just like to acknowledge our sponsor, which is Valley View Secondary School, up on Wright Road, Para Vista, your friendly neighbourhood school. Now, this program is pre-recorded, but unlike my previous pre-recorded programs where I've put it on a CD and dropped it off at the station, this time we're going to try and use the internet and the facilities such as Dropbox and G Drive. There's been a thing that's come out from the administration of the station suggesting that people do their programs this way. And of course, we've seen a lot of changes in the way media are operating. That's what we're going to be focusing on in this half an hour, what we've got left of it. Unfortunately, because cinemas have closed, I don't think we've got any rapid resident review for this month. So I don't know what poor Linda's doing. I'll have to tune in tomorrow to her program and find out. But with the cinemas closed, everybody is going to TV and Foxtel and Netflix and Stan and YouTube and all those others. So hopefully we'll be able to hear from our rapid reviewer when things and when service returns to normal. Now, speaking of movie releases, I did receive from Sony Pictures their release schedule for the year, and this is dated April 2020, and we find that they haven't got any movies being released until September the 3rd, is their view, and that's when we're going to see Monster Hunter come out, and then September 17th they've got a movie called Connected, which is a Sony Pictures animation. Then coming up after that, October the 1st is Venom 2, October 22nd Fatherhood, Happiest Season November 26th, and then Peter Rabbit 2, which was going to be released around now, they've now scheduled to be released on Boxing Day on the 26th. So and our thoughts go out to all those people working in cinemas that have suddenly found themselves without jobs. So we've seen all sorts of effects from the virus, and we're going to listen in a minute to edit together three segments from ABC's Media Watch, which specifically look at I suppose closures and job losses and what's going on in the media. So we'll have a look at that. And yesterday we had a Zoom meeting, which is becoming very popular, where quite a few people can gather at their laptops and hold a meeting. This was with the SACE board, the Year 12 Media Studies group. And it was interesting because one of the things I've said over the years is media studies teachers, particularly at the senior end of school, have always been a bit loath to use social media. So over the years, the SACE board has had forums for teachers to get on and share their problems or, you know, discuss things that have worked well. And they have been very poorly attended, I've got to say. We do have our own Facebook page, Meet Media Educators Exchanging Together. That's had a bit more success, but again, I wouldn't say it's hugely active. But yesterday at our Zoom meeting hosted by the SACE board, there were 20 teachers of media studies, Year 12 Media Studies, who got online, most of them with their cameras on, and were discussing the ramifications for this year and for students who are doing media studies at Year 12 or Stage 2 level. In fact, one of the teachers said it was the best professional training and development session they'd had in 7 years. So it'd be interesting to see if that continues. One of the issues that people did discuss was, of course, the virus and the task that's worth 30% of the student's final mark, which is an investigation, which takes the place of an exam. Students are required to examine a current media issue. And the idea is to look at the way the media is covered or how the media is affecting an issue. And quite a few teachers were saying, well, it looks like coronavirus is going to be it. And certainly I think that's going to be one of the big topics that we'll see at the end of the year when it comes time to mark these investigations. The other thing was, of course, discussing, because there is a production element, students make videos and podcasts and all sorts of things like that. And the question was, because it's normally a group activity, how are teachers going to be able to work their way around that? Luckily, one of the schools that is very active in terms of Year 12 media is Open Access College, and they're already into distance education. They already have students who are working in isolation. So Ruby, who is the current teacher there, was able to share some of her ideas about strategies to cope with students not being able to work collaboratively quite as well. But of course, the other point people made was with the changes in media and social media, people are able to be in contact with each other a lot more. Okay, let's go and listen to, as I said, this is three episodes of Media Watch from Monday, just gone, and the Monday beforehand. And here they discuss what's happened with the media and the coronavirus. Of course, we all know what's happened in terms of news coverage. Can we get anything else but coverage about coronavirus? So let's hear about Media Watch.
And that's partly because coronavirus is the only story we're interested in. If you thought bushfires dominated the news last summer, think again. According to media monitoring group Stream, at its peak, the fires featured in 30% of news stories. The coronavirus is up around 80%. And even then, the public just can't get enough of it. The top-rating TV shows for the past week have all been commercial news bulletins. Last Wednesday, the ABC's 7pm bulletin had its highest metro ratings in 7 years, and readership of the major online news sites is up anywhere between 10 and 30% week on week. News Corp says it's also seeing a surge in new subscriptions, telling Media Watch,
"No story we've ever told has been so big, so quick to evolve, or so widespread. The media's role has rarely been more critical than in this era of fake news."
News Corp has dropped paywalls on its corona content and is now offering new subscribers free access for 4 weeks. But these are extraordinary times. And that's also reflected in how the news is being produced.
The empty newsroom, putting out The Age while in lockdown.
For the first time in their long history, both the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age have been produced remotely, leaving their newsrooms empty. Radio has also moved out into makeshift studios, with many broadcasters, including 2GB's Alan Jones and Ray Hadley, phoning it in, as are the hosts at Melbourne's 3AW.
"Today I'm broadcasting from home. Most of our people will be broadcasting from home by the end of the week. We're doing that because we want to stay on air. We need to stay on air. We need to talk."
But just as we're relying on the media more than ever and consuming more and more of it as we sit at home in isolation, some newsrooms are sadly being forced to close.
Small regional newspapers across Australia, some of which have been operating for more than a century, have started to close their doors as the economic reality of the coronavirus shutdown hits home. With country businesses closing, advertising revenue has collapsed, and it's proving to be the final nail for many local mastheads.
So, will the government bail them out? Well, small business tax relief will help, and an innovation fund set up last year for small and regional news operators still has $40 million to spend. But help is needed fast. As Mumbrella's Tim Burrows noted...
"I've spoken to a couple of people who said it must be great times for newspapers, or it must be great times for online publishers at the moment, because everyone's looking."
Yes.
"But of course, that doesn't, you know, doesn't actually matter, does it, if there's nobody advertising?"
And free-to-air TV is not looking much better. At Nine, which had already promised to cut costs by $100 million before the virus hit, the collapse in advertising threatens to slash revenue and has cut the share price in half. Social distancing rules have also stopped production on The Block and impacted other top-rating reality shows, The Voice and Ninja Warrior. Meanwhile, Seven is in even more trouble. Production of its big bet shows, like Plate of Origin and Big Brother, is still going ahead for the moment, but it has lost the AFL, and the Olympic Games in Tokyo, worth hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising, has been postponed. Today, you could have bought the entire network on the stock market for $115 million, roughly 1/40th of what West Australian newspapers paid for it in 2011. Only 18 months ago, Seven was flying high. Now it's in talks with its bankers and may well be at their mercy. And there were more signs last week that the media is a casualty.
News Corp is hitting pause on the production of 60 community newspapers across New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland and South Australia. News Corp blamed rapid declines in advertising money due to the pandemic.
From this week, News Corp will stop printing 60 of its local newspapers as the advertising dollar from retail, real estate, bars and restaurants dries up. And while the digital editions will continue, the future of those newspapers is now in serious doubt, as are the jobs of many reporters and photographers. This is because, even before the pandemic, local papers were struggling. As former News Corp CEO John Hardigan told the ABC...
"A lot of these publications have been effectively on life support,
well before even the droughts and the bushfires, the knock-on effect even for suburban publishers, let alone this virus.
So, with the virus shutting down the economy, those papers never stood a chance. And that's ironic because our thirst for news is greater than ever. The Sunday Telegraph deputy editor Claire Harvey told The Drum.
Our audience numbers are growing exponentially, particularly in local areas. People are very, very interested in local news, and we'll continue to provide that to people.
But however great the demand, there's sadly no guarantee that print editions will return if revenues come back. As news industry analyst Ken Doctor told Neiman Lab about America's local press.
No newspaper that drops print days of publication will ever add them back. Humpty Dumpty won't put the 20th century newspaper back together again. There can be no return to status quo ante. The ante was already vanishing.
We hope he's wrong. But News Corp was not the only one last week to take a hit. Seven told staff to take a 20% pay cut until June and shift to a four-day week, while 10 asked employers to reduce working hours and take leave. And nine will temporarily stop printing some of its titles, including Sophisticated Traveller and Good Food magazine, for obvious reasons. And today, more grim news, with reports that regional broadcasters, Prime, Wynn and Southern Cross Austereo, are so cash-strapped they're looking at closing down news bulletins and they're seeking government help. Meanwhile, some journalists who do still have a job are sadly finding themselves with much less to cover.
Holly, what's happening in the world of sport?
Very little, Roger. Very little. Back to you.
Joking aside, things are pretty grim at the sports desk.
The AFL is off. Well, for the first time in 59 years, there will be no surfing contest at Bells Beach this Easter.
And it's confirmed, tennis's Jewel in the Crown cancelled, the first time since 1945.
That the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics will be postponed until next year.
Coronavirus has claimed another sporting code, with the NRL suspending the 2020 season after just two rounds.
Tennis, soccer, rugby, golf, AFL, league and Formula One, the cancellations just keep on coming. As former soccer boss and ABC managing director, David Hill, told the ABC last week.
It's a full-blown crisis. I've never seen big sports in Australia challenged as they are now.
So, to fill the void, for now at least, everyone is raiding the archives, including Fox Footy, which has hours of airtime every day to fill.
That's why we're recalling the greatest games with all new live commentary, analysis, interviews and more.
Oh, just
and the older they get, the better they were.
How good was footy in those days?
Loving this AFL live recall on Fox Footy.
Meanwhile, the Herald Sun is also in rewind mode.
Top 20 roos of the modern era.
Rewind. Jason's big day out. The day Dunstall booted 17.
Also taking us back in time are the entertainment reporters, who, with cinemas closed and productions stopped on most movies and big TV shows, are taking us down memory lane.
Let's just have a look at The Blues Brothers. It's one of the greatest films of all time.
30 years ago, we were invited to take a trip to Twin Peaks. Let's take a look.
On Nine, they're also into greatest hits, as long as they're on Nine Own Stan.
At number 10, it's Dawson's Creek. More than two decades since it first premiered. Ninth on my list is Grey's Anatomy. And now for my number one pick of the best classic shows on Stan. Yes, that iconic guitar riff says it all, doesn't it? It is Seinfeld.
Going to be tough if they've got 6 months to fill. How many times will they be able to shuffle that list? Maybe they should take the lead from Time Out, which has rebranded its Sydney and Melbourne magazines, Time In, to help us all through the lockdown. Meanwhile, most of those TV reports are coming from home studios, and as expected, it doesn't always go to plan.
Leading the pack today is Rihanna. Her corporation has given $1 million in grants toward COVID-19 response, and her mate Jay-Z is matching her with another $1 million.
We've seen profits come in many shapes and forms, and we've seen some.
Oh. Looks like Nelson is frozen in time. That happens, doesn't it?
It does. All right.
We'll just chat amongst ourselves.
We'll give him a bit of a slap to wake him up.
It is a sign of the times. Let's hope we can all be unfrozen soon.
And that was Media Watch. As I said, it was edited together from Monday just gone and Monday the week before. So looking at the effects that the virus has had on the media. And this morning I took my last read of the Northern Messenger until, you know, but as it said, will they really come back? But certainly the argument that that Messenger Press and those papers are not getting the money, the revenue in from advertising, when I looked at it, it was out of the 20 pages, there were 16 pages of advertising. So I find it a bit hard to believe that it's the local free papers. Perhaps it's the main mastheads that are facing financial difficulty. I don't know. Anyway, thank heavens News Corporation are offering us a free deal where we can subscribe to their online digital platforms for 4 weeks. For 4 weeks free. The only thing is you do have to give them your payment details, and after 3 weeks they start taking money out anyway, unless of course you tell them not to. So a little bit of a hollow effort there, I think, from them. But certainly the virus has seen an upsurge in people doing their own videoing at home, using their laptops, their phones, their tablets, people making their own little ISO, even though we don't say the word isolation, it's ISO videos. And you know, perhaps what we're seeing in this time is what academics have talked about, the democratization, I'll get that word right, democratization of the media. The idea that once upon a time the media was really in the hands of a few, and now it's hands in the hands of many. One interesting thing is the you know, we've sort of gone back to the past in some ways, and the ABC is going to offer curriculum-based education content for students next term. It's going to expand its free education content to help students and teachers who are at home. And this decision follows a call from none other than former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. And that's for the public broadcaster to provide more support. And that's providing teaching materials across ABC Kids and ABC Me. ABC Managing Director David Anderson said that the national broadcaster was ready to launch the extra resources. And of course, this is in line with its charter requirement to broadcast programs of an educational nature. And those of you that are a little bit long in the tooth, like me, will remember in the old days when, first of all, we had radio. Every classroom would have a speaker in it, and at times during the day we would sit and listen to four schools programs and music programs, and of course then also during the day the television, ABC TV, during the bulk of the day had programs that were meant for students in school. So we're seeing a return to that. And David Anderson said, with so many Australian children now studying at home or preparing to do so, the ABC is boosting its support. Our expanded schedule will complement with many hours of educational content already available on the ABC across multiple platforms, and we will build on that programming as we require. So from the 14th of April to coincide with the beginning of the second school term, now I think that's interstate next term, but anyway, the expanded schedule moves from blocks of primary school content in the mornings through to secondary content in the afternoons, featuring programs such as Behind the News, BTN, Echo Maths, Science Explosion, Number Blocks, Citizen Code, English on the Go, and more than 4,000 free videos will be offered online on ABC Education. And they're also going to create original teacher-led mini-lessons, which will be broadcast on the ABC Education portal. And ABC, the New South Wales and Victorian departments have provided initial financial assistance to produce this content. Preschoolers, of course, will still be catered for. So Australians should be assured, said Anderson, reassured that we're making every effort to continue to provide our trusted and valued services to the audience, to audiences wherever they are. So it's interesting to see ABC returning to its core. And we'll see how long that lasts. Of course, the problem is that the ABC does have already a wealth of stuff that it broadcasts and has online. But how many people are aware of it? We talked about the Bias in the Media series that BTN here made in Adelaide. Very good series looking at fake news. And unfortunately, though, it's tucked away on YouTube, and a lot of the teachers I've talked to really haven't, aren't aware of it. Anyway, while all the COVID virus thing is going on, the question is what's happened to the rest of the news? George Pell certainly made the news, but I was surprised when I saw Australian Story on Monday that Don Burrows, Australian jazz musician of extremely high note, had passed away. And I'm thinking, well, I normally keep in touch with what's going on in the media, and I didn't see that at all. So let's have a quick listen to a bit of Don Burrows. So we're going to listen to Passing the Bark, which is from the Just Beginning album, which was Don Burrows Quartet's seminal jazz album and the first jazz album to go gold. So that's Media Moves for this month. Until next month, it's Grant Brindle saying goodbye.